Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to The Bosses. That's where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek news and movie reviews. I'm your host for the day, The Big Boss, and I'm here with my guy, The Professor. What's up, man?
What's good, brother? What's happening?
Good, good. Just coming off a pretty good movie-watching weekend. Ready to get into it. Got the Super Bowl starting this weekend, so you know how that goes.
I do.
So today we got a couple of items in movie news, game news, and TV news, all just geek-related stuff, and we're going to go down through them and, you know, just share our opinions. So let's dig right in. All right, so coming off fresh of the weekend, we got the weekend box office. Not much is surprising here. Maze Runner 3 just came out, so it is topping out the top three, making $23.5 million after the weekend. Second up there is Jumanji, hanging on strong with $16.4 million. And looks like a new movie called Hostiles is coming in third place, making $10.2 million for the weekend. So yeah, I'm not really surprised there. Maze Runner was a solid addition. And I was expecting that fan base to really show out for that. Jumanji, man, hanging on strong there. It makes sense because there's nothing, honestly, like if we really want to keep it real, there's no big blockbusters that are coming out to really contend with it other than Maze Runner. So
right.
Jumanji hanging on to the second spot is not surprising at all. So yeah.
It would have been out in, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks anyway. So
Yeah, definitely. Oh man. So we'll see how long it holds on to the box office, but right now it's looking strong for Jumanji. So well, you know, hopefully they'll keep making that money. I mean, we all know that The Rock can bring in millions of money for any movie, and you know, teaming him up with Kevin Hart now is like really, really been killing the game. So
I was gonna say, anytime you do it with him by himself, he's a draw. When you add Kevin Hart to it, I almost said Kevin Smith. Kevin Hart to it, it puts a whole new spin on it, where it grabs a whole new bunch of people. So
yeah,
not totally surprised by it. I'm guessing we're gonna see another one. I haven't seen this yet, so I don't know how it ends, where it leaves it, but I'm guessing we're probably gonna see another one.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll wait and see what happens with them. But yeah, that's your weekend box office, man. So let's dig into the geek news of the week, man. So first things up, Oscar nominations are in. So we're getting a good look at what's coming out there and what's being nominated. And you know, some pretty solid entries coming in this year, especially I'm definitely excited for Best Picture. Seeing Get Out up there is pretty awesome. That movie was great, and it was an awesome movie for Jordan Peele's like debut film. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing if that wins. But a lot of these are like solid entries. But like Get Out, I'm seeing like multiple times for director, lead actor, Best Picture. I think for original screenplay, yeah, original screenplay is up there. Like it's really trying to clean up out here. So that's what's up.
I mean, I'll admit I haven't seen any of these yet.
I've just been
busy on a lot of them, and some of them just aren't my kind of movie. But if I had to guess, just because it's that epic wartime movie that people love, I would guess that Dunkirk probably takes this one.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know. I haven't seen them to determine what I would say is better than the other.
Yeah. Like honestly, if any wartime movie was gonna win, I think Darkest Hour would clean up more than Dunkirk. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm a Chris Nolan fan. I at least like him to some degree, but I don't think he's beating out Gary Oldman's performance in that movie alone.
Churchill.
Yeah, where he was Churchill, man. So that's a heavy hitter.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
I just wanted some of the things I've heard people talking about. They seem to think it's either leaning probably towards. Actually, there's three that they really talk about in this. It's Dunkirk, it's Get Out, and then it's that Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. They talk about a lot.
Yeah.
Stuff that I listen to and read. So probably one of those three is more than likely going to be your winner. I would tend to think Dunkirk just by the things that I've read, but again, I haven't seen them, so I can't really say.
Yeah, yeah. Because I know Three Billboards won out a lot with the, what is it, the Golden Globes that just passed?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Golden Globes that just passed. Three Billboards was cleaning up. I think we talked about it last week. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see who wins out. And, you know, looking forward to the Oscars. It's going to be around, I think it's March 6th is when it's going to be on TV. So, yeah, so, definitely going to be probably doing some live tweeting on the Boss's Desk profile for this one. So, yeah. Trying to see what else is on here. Oh, standing out here, like, surprisingly, for me, is definitely with, what is it, original? Is it original screenplay or adapted screenplay? Adapted screenplay. We're finally getting a superhero movie in the noms for an Oscar.
How about that, huh?
That is big. That is big, man. I'm definitely excited about that. Logan came out of the gate and hit it out the park. So I'm proud. I'm happy for them. So we'll see how it does on Oscar night. But this is great news, at least for the superhero genre, because I feel like it's been solidifying. I feel like the genre has been solidifying since Winter Soldier. Like, Winter Soldier changed the game for me as far as superhero movies go, and that telling these intense, rich stories with complex characters, man. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to see it, because normally the attitude towards the comic book movies is, it's just a comic book movie.
Right.
I want to see it, you know, have it shot at these awards. And movies like Winter Soldier and Logan definitely deserve them, because they're so well written and they're so well done.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy to see that genre is finally getting a little cred as far as the awards go. Do I think it'll win the award? Probably not.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that it's there and gets the nomination is enough to give it a little bit of credit, I think.
Yeah.
That alone is a good start.
Yeah, that's a big step. It's a big step for them, man. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. You know, we always got to look at the visual effects. Visual effects is as geeky as one could get as far as awards for Oscars go. Right. So, checking it out, we got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 up there for visual effects, which has some stunning effects. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, was nommed for visual effects Volume 1 when it came out. So, you know, that's not surprising here. We got Kong, Skull Island, Star Wars, Last Jedi, War for the Planet of the Apes, Blade Runner 2049. All these were visually amazing movies. So it's hard to tell who's going to win out on that one.
That is a tough category. This is one of the few that I've actually seen all of the movies in the category. And that's a tough, tough one to pick.
I mean, Guardians.
I mean, the two standouts for me are probably Guardians and Blade Runner.
You're right.
I would probably lean towards Guardians if you're asking me. Not just from a bias, just from, I think the Guardians is a better looking movie. But that's going to be a tough one. That'll be a tough one to pick through.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, like, Kong was great. Star Wars had its great moments. I mean, War for the Planet of the Apes. I mean, Planet of the Apes is a franchise that's always going to win for visual effects just because of how natural everything looks. And just the mocap is just revolutionary. So. Right. But Blade Runner 2049 was massive. It was a massive visual effects movie. And then Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is always, it's always been massive as far as like what you see cosmically. So, yeah, it's definitely a hard one to tell. I'm leaning towards Blade Runner, maybe War for the Planet of the Apes. But you never know. Guardians may surprise us and come out on top on this one. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool if it does. So
I'd be all right with that.
Yeah. So let's take a look at some TV news. This one coming out about American Gods. I don't know if anybody's been following that show. I love it. I've read the book. Love it. Neil Gaiman is one of my favorite authors. So, you know, this show is definitely on the top for me. But looks like American Gods is losing its showrunners, and Brian Fuller and Michael Green, they're leaving. as showrunner. The bright side of this news, though, is that Neil Gaiman is going to be taking a more involved role with the show. So they'll be leaning more on him as the showrunner moving forward. Now, what I'm hearing is that they're leaving due to budgeting and creative direction. I feel like creative direction is always something that comes up when people leave shows. So I don't really lean on that. Like, creative differences are creative differences, but budgeting is a big thing, because I know that what they wanted to do was to increase the production budget of this show to $10 million an episode. That's a lot of money to be shelling out.
That's a lot of cash for any show.
Yeah. And I mean, they did some epic things first season, but $10 million a show? Like, woo.
I mean, I loved the show. I still don't have any idea half the hell stuff that was going on. Because it was just so far out there watching that show. But look, you had one season that was mostly successful. Trying to get $10 million an episode for the next season, you're out of your mind.
Like, yes. Yeah.
I don't know where you pull that from, thinking somebody's going to go, sure, here you go. I mean, it's a 10 to 12 episode series, I think, for the first season. You know, the second season usually going to be about the same. It's potentially $120 million for one season of a show.
This has, like, legit become a movie production budget.
Right. You know, and I don't even know what a full season of, like, Game of Thrones costs, but I don't know that that's $10 million an episode either, and that's widely considered the best show on television right now.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, and they're going into their ninth season, I forget exactly which it is at this point, but... Yeah, that's pretty ballsy to ask for $10 million episode for a second season of the show.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I'm not really surprised at this news, but it's cool because they're all going off to do their own things that they've been interested in. Michael Green he's moving on to a superhero show that I think is going to be on Netflix, premiering on Netflix. We talked about it a couple episodes back, called Raising Dion. It's going to be produced by Michael B. Jordan, and he's going to be starring in it as a character that kind of like looms throughout the series. But it's a show dealing with a single mom. Her husband was killed, I believe, and she's left to raise her son, who is developing superpowers of his own. And the crazy thing about his abilities is that they range and they vary from time to time. So she's like trying to teach him, being non-powered herself, trying to teach him how to control his abilities. So it'll be an interesting look on the superhero origin story. So that should be fun.
Sounds interesting. I'll definitely check it out. Rolls around.
Yeah, man. And then I think Brian Fuller is moving to working on Apple's Amazing Stories. So he'll be working on some projects for Apple's streaming service, I guess, through their, you know, through iTunes and whatnot. So, you know, each of them, you know, it's sad to lose them, but I know that they're moving on to better things. And hopefully this change in American Gods can, you know, they can bounce back from this and, you know, keep the budget the way that it is and the storytelling still be as great as it was from day one. So,
well, and I know Gaiman said he's only going to take kind of a limited involvement. But he's going to be more involved. I don't think he was very involved in the first season.
Yeah.
He's the guy who created the book, and this guy writes it. So you can't get too much better than that, having that kind of person kind of take over a little bit of the show to start to run it.
Definitely, man.
I imagine that'll probably help out.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Yeah. So, yeah. So any more news we get on there, if there's some changes, maybe we get some more executive producers on that show, we'll let you guys know. But that's it for TV news. Let's move on to some movie news, man. I'm kind of excited about the movie news because at least two items in there. So, you know, we'll go through those and let you guys know. So we're getting first looks at Captain Marvel costume picks from Marvel.
Yeah.
And they look legit. So it's like, you know, we're looking at these picks. You got the black and green. Now, I thought at first that this might be, you know, the green may have some kind of overlay in post, kind of like what they did for Spider-Man. But Spider-Man's costume wasn't green at all, because I think, like, green is a color that you can replace in visual effects. But this might be an homage to the original costume, which is pretty dope, man. Like, so I'm excited.
What I've heard, there's going to be a couple costumes in the movie.
Nice.
This is just one of them. I thought the same thing initially, that maybe it was like a green screen costume. They were going to add something to it.
Yeah.
You know, in the post. And it still could be. It's not like kind of the same bright green that it would be. I mean, there's none of those little CGI, you know, ping pong balls all over the suit. So could just be a legitimate look at one of the actual suits. But I've heard bits and places, other you know, bits and pieces other places, that there's going to be multiple suits. So this just could be one we see here in the movie. But I'm looking forward to it. It's one of the more interesting characters I think they've ever had. And I think it's, you know, Marvel's jump into that female lead, I think, is pretty well overdue. So
yeah, definitely.
So it'll be good to see that one.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I believe she's going to be in one of the Infinity War movies, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think not this one coming up, but she's going to be in the next one. So
next one, right.
Yeah. Yeah, so look forward to that one. So, and now this isn't like, this is more like rumor mill, because I don't think it's been solidified by production, by Sony, but we got a pick from Tom Hardy, hinting that Venom has wrapped shooting. So if that's the case, that's awesome. That means we're gonna be getting some trailers soon. So I'm looking forward to that. And I mean, the hype that's surrounding this movie shaping up to be a legit contender. So I'm looking forward to seeing an anti-hero within the Spider-Man universe along this caliber. So, yeah.
I don't think it's due out till October, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a while before we actually see the movie. But we might start seeing at least a teaser more sooner than later. You know, I mean, usually about this time they start doing at least the teasers. Mm-hmm. Or some kind of image with him as, you know, Venom. So that I really want to see. I want to see the take that they're giving to the character. I saw something a while back that they said was like a 3D rendering of what the character's going to look like, and I wasn't a big fan of it. It looked more alien than Venom, you know, comic Venom to me. Like the jaw area was real thin and the head was kind of bulbous, so it was kind of weird looking.
Oh no!
Looked almost like something. It honestly looked almost like something out of Resident Evil. Like,
oh wow!
But it was like a black and gray image, and it wasn't a verified kind of thing. So I don't know if that was going to be it or not. But I really want to say, you know, can't be any worse than what was in Spider-Man 3. So
this is true. This is true.
Oh, that was so bad. But yeah, I'm curious. I want to see. You know, and it's you know, they're going to give him Carnage as the villain in the movie.
Which is daring. Very daring.
I mean, unless the movie's rated R, which I don't think it is.
Really?
It's going to be hard to do the Carnage character correctly. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it was rated R or PG-13. I don't know. I didn't think it was R, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But if you don't have it rated R and you bring Carnage in, you're kind of neutering the character considering what he's supposed to be. So,
right.
You know, who knows at this point what they're going to do with it. But I want to see. I want to see some of the stuff that they're going to do with it. I want to see what it's going to look like before I need to make any more judgments on it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, rounding out the movie news today, we got some movie news / game news. You're always apprehensive when you hear news about a video game adaptation coming to film. I don't know how to take this one. So, we're getting reports that John Cena is in talks to star in a Duke Nukem movie. Now, this is, I mean, like, Duke Nukem being made into a movie is already the most far-fetched plot line you could really think of. Because that game was all kinds of random. So, now we're hearing, to be honest, John Cena is a dead ringer for Duke Nukem. There's no way around it.
I can't lie. If you're going to pick somebody with the physical abilities and the physical look for the actual character, you know, you're not going to get much better choice than him these days, you know. At one point, it probably would have been Dolph Lundgren, but he's a little too old now to play that character.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's interesting. You know, I'm not an anti-John Cena guy. I happen to like him in Trainwreck, Amy Schumer's Trainwreck. I thought he was hysterical.
Right, right.
So I'm not against him doing movies. I think he'd be pretty good. I just can't see a Duke Nukem movie.
Right.
Like, doing all that well.
Yeah, like, you're talking about 2 hours of Duke Nukem. Like, that's a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like,
plus, when was the last time a Duke Nukem game was released?
Yeah, like, I can't even remember.
It's been many years, as far as my recollection goes. I don't know that it's an odd choice to choose a game that hasn't been big in a long time.
Yeah.
And make it into a movie all of a sudden. But, hey, if you can do it, more power to you, I guess.
Definitely, man. Oh, man. So this next bit of news is in the Funko Pop area. Hey, Professor, what are you hearing over on that area?
So this could be potentially be a little spoilerish for anybody who's listening and doesn't really want to know too much about Infinity War. So we'll give you our heads-up spoiler warning and give you a few seconds to either kick forward or turn us – well, don't turn us off, but kick forward a little bit and avoid what's coming up here. So there was a leak of a – oh, 3, 2, 1. Okay. There was a leak of an image of the Thor Funko Pop character that's being released for the Infinity War movie. And you know it's from the movie on the back of it. It's got all of the other characters that they're going to be releasing, the, you know, the Black Order characters, the new Thanos look without the helm and the armor. The interesting thing about the Thor character is has both of its eyes normally with just a scar across the left eye, or right, I guess it's his right eye.
Yeah, yeah.
So it looks like potentially he could be getting the eye back, and he's also carrying in his hand the hammer slash axe like he kind of carries in the Ultimates Thor. Not quite the same kind of big round hammer head. It's more of a rectangular look. But it's that kind of axe. I think they call it, there are people online that call it Ultimate Mjolnir. Like the back half of it is an axe blade. The front half of it is the head of a hammer. And it's all kinds of like runed on it and it's kind of, you know, it's scripted. So, you know, he looks like he's going to be getting some kind of new weapon in the movie. Now, the Funkos are usually pretty accurate to what comes out in the movies and TV shows. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that's going to happen for this movie.
Yeah.
Personally, I think the shot of him in the trailer where he's like pulling on those levers and there's like fire behind him, I think that's him forging his own hammer.
Nice. I think
that's like... because that's, you know, the whole thing with Odin was he forged the hammer, you know, in the heart of a dwarf star or whatever it is. And, you know, Peter Dinklage is supposed to be in this movie. I believe it's this one. And one of the rumored characters he's playing is the dwarf who created Mjolnir for Odin or helped Odin create Mjolnir. So I would imagine that we'll see him in that scene with Thor creating his own new weapon. That's what I think is going to happen.
Oh, that is awesome.
That's what the Funko looks like. It's got a whole new hammer, so. To see if that comes true. We, you know, more sooner than later, we're going to find that out. We only got to wait till May.
Yeah.
But that's what the thing shows, so I wouldn't be surprised.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I'm looking at the pictures, and this thing looks pretty epic. So I'm hoping that they lean towards that. We get a little bit more info of the movie. Like, at this point for me, I don't really consider this too much to be spoiler. I mean, it's not revealing too much about the character or anything like that, but we know he's getting a new weapon, so it could kind of showcase some plot points, but it's not like so much that I feel like the movie is ruined. So I'm so with this, and I'm excited to see what happens. So,
me too. Can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So that's it for the news. We're gonna do some fan casting today, and want to make sure that we keep some fun stuff in this podcast as we move forward. So I'm thinking we'll do fan casts as much as we can. So this week I'm gonna do something a little different. So, you know, the first time we did this, we did Fantastic Four, then we did X-Men. So now we're gonna do a substitution fan cast. So Professor and I, we're gonna pick three movies. Three characters in those movies, and we're going to substitute them with someone who we feel like should be in that movie. So we're going to recast. So this is a fan cast recast.
Yep.
So I'll start things off first. So the first movie that I picked was Star Wars Episode 2 and 3. My biggest problem with that film was the character of Anakin Skywalker. I felt like Hayden Christensen was so whiny and annoying and emo. He was just terrible. Like, he was at, I think that was a period in time where movie characters were a lot more emo than they really should have been. Cause I think that around that same time we got Spider-Man, Spider-Man 3. We got him. So we got that emo.
I think that's about that time. Yeah.
Yeah. So, You know, I was just like, ah, man, I really wish that there was a different character who could have kind of held up the strength of Anakin, but, you know, we still get that tortured soul around the end and deal with the with him dealing with the dark side and what have you. So for me, I'm recasting Anakin Skywalker from Hayden Christensen to a character that I've always really enjoyed, an actor that I've always really enjoyed, Sam Witwer. Now, this guy, he's pretty much made his rounds around the fantasy sci-fi world. If you're a big fan of Once Upon a Time, at least the seasons before this current one where they swapped out the cast, he played Mr. Hyde, and he did some really great work there as Mr. Hyde. If you're a fan of, well, he's also been in the Star Wars universe. Well, not really canon, but he's been in the Star Wars universe. If you played the game Force Unleashed, he played Vader's apprentice, a.k.a. Starkiller.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah,
okay.
That guy. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, if you're a Being Human fan, Being Human US, he played Aiden White, who was the vampire in the housemate trio. But, yeah, like, he's a fan of Star Wars, first and foremost. Like, that's something that needs to be said at first. He appreciates the story. So I think that he has a very like tortured soul type of character to him, and I think he would play Anakin Skywalker really well. It wouldn't come off whiny. He would come off like the hero that we wanted him to be at first, and then you see his descent into like the dark side and into that madness and into that paranoia, and I think he would play that perfectly. So that if I was going to recast Anakin, Sam Witwer.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I think that's an excellent pick. I would like to have seen that, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So what you got?
All right, so I'm not going to give all three. I'll just say up front that all three of mine, I the first things off my head were all Marvel movies and Marvel characters. Just happened to be what popped into my head when we started talking about it. So
right.
My first replacement would be all the Avengers movies and the Iron Man movies. I would replace... Now, I will also say up front, I don't have any problem with all the actors in these movies. I just think people I would prefer to see in them, I think, would have done better jobs.
Right.
I would replace Scarlett Johansson, believe it or not.
Okay, yeah.
With Kate Beckinsale. To play Natasha Romanoff, the Black Widow, in a heartbeat.
With the authentic Russian accent.
Yes. I think she would have been just... It's awful to say it nowadays, little things people yell at you, but there is a sex appeal, obviously, with the Black Widow character.
Yeah.
And while Johansson obviously has that, I think Kate Beckinsale has it on a whole different level.
Yeah.
Especially if you watch her, you know, in the Underworld movies and whatnot. And I think she just would have been better at the action as well because of the Underworld movies, because she had that action stuff under her belt. I think she would have been an awesome choice to play Black Widow. So that would be my first replacement. So I would have replaced Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, I could definitely get with that. It's not that I don't like Scarlett Johansson. I think she's grown into this role really well. I mean, after seeing her in Civil War, like, I loved her character in Civil War. But yeah, Kate Beckinsale, especially I'm thinking, what was the movie? With Hugh Jackman. Van Helsing.
Oh, Van Helsing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Like, she gave me some Black Widow vibes in Van Helsing.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah.
So I could definitely see that fan cast. I could definitely see that swap. Yeah, yeah. All right. So my second movie, or this time I'm moving to TV or Netflix, if you want to say, Iron Fist, Danny Rand. Now I know a lot of people have had a problem with what's the guy's name? Finn.
Finn Jones.
Finn Jones being Danny Rand. He just to like, I guess for a lot of people, he just didn't give off the feeling of Danny Rand. I was okay with him. I thought that they were going to go a different route with somebody a little bit more competent, I guess, in the martial arts area. So, if I was going to recast Finn Jones, in Iron Fist, I'm definitely going to go with a pick that I thought a lot of people thought was going to be Danny Rand, and it was Scott Adkins. Scott Adkins, he's actually been in the Marvel Universe in Doctor Strange. He played Lucian. He was one of, I can't remember the guy's name, the main bad. Yeah, he was the main guy's henchman. He got handled pretty quickly. But he fought, like, he was fighting with Doctor Strange in the hospital in the astral plane. So if you were, or the astral realm, so if you paid attention, you were liking that fight scene, that was Scott Adkins. If you're a big fan of the Undisputed franchise, he plays Boyka, who's like one of my favorite characters in like an action type film like that. Like, Boyka was one of those characters who got introduced as a villain or as an antagonist and just developed into this anti-hero, redeemable character, because he just had this respect for the martial arts, the respect for fighting. And like, you watch this guy in the film and it's just, he pulls off that Russian accent perfectly. The guy's British, so it's cool to see people who can stretch their chops a bit and be somebody completely different from who they are. And then he was also in the Hercules movie. Not the one with The Rock.
Okay.
Not that one. It was actually, it was surprisingly enough, it came under the radar, but I thought that that was the better version of the Hercules movies that came out around the same time. The only reason the other one won out was because The Rock was in it. So, but he played King Amphitron in Hercules, and he did really well in that movie. Like, you could see his madness, his paranoia, and, you know, he just wanted to take out Hercules because he felt like he was a threat. It was just really, it was a great exchange. It was like, you really get to watch this guy flex his acting chops. I just feel like he's so underrated in the acting world. Like, he plays these really intense characters, and he's a great martial artist on top of that. Like, the guy is legit.
Wasn't he in The Expendables, too?
Yeah, he was in The Expendables. I think he was... Was he a villain in The Expendables? I think he was...
I'm pretty sure he was the villain, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he was a villain in The Expendables. He's got this ninja... Like, it's this movie called Ninja, or like American Ninja, or... No, it's like Ninja. And, he plays this character on there. It's just perfect. Like, you can see his martial arts skills. Like, the guy is a beast, and he would have made a perfect Danny Rand. All he had to do is dye his hair blonde, call it a day, man. Like, I'm saying, you know, it's like, I just don't, I mean, like, I don't know. I guess if I'm looking for somebody who can really handle business, Finn Jones would not have been my first pick. Like, when I got that casting news, I was like, all right, I'm gonna go with y'all on this one. But
it was interesting because for a long time, everybody was sure it was going to be Ryan Philippe because they had said he had came in, or Philip.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know,
he had come in, he had signed on, he was going to do something, and all of a sudden it wasn't him, it was Finn Jones. Everybody's like, wait, what?
Dang. Yeah, because he just got finished. Is he still doing Shooter? Is Shooter still on?
Yeah. I mean, they just did the second season, just ended not a few months ago. I'm guessing season 3 is probably coming up soon.
Yeah, and you've been telling me that's a really good show, right?
I like that show a lot. I always like the movie. Movie's not a great movie. It's a fun, stupid action movie with Maki Mak as the main character. The TV show goes to a much more dramatic angle, and I think it actually makes it better.
Yeah.
And he's really good in the show. I enjoy the Shooter show a lot.
Yeah, Ryan Philippe kind of came back pretty strong because he had that like mystery, murder mystery thriller show that was on ABC for a little bit, and then he moved on to Shooter. But like, he's been coming back pretty strong, so... Yeah, I would have anybody but Finn Jones. Like, I mean, I get it, and it works. It's there now, but I mean, like, Finn Jones, he's just like, so just like meh on screen.
I didn't think he was that bad, but I do think they probably could have picked somebody better.
Right? Yeah, it's like I could watch it. It was bearable, but I know a lot of people who's been watching all the Netflix shows, even in the Defenders, and a lot of people skipped Iron Fist. Like, this is rough, so, yeah. Oh, man. So, what you got up next?
Poor Finn Jones. So, this is one that I've been touting for a long time, my second pick here, one that I've been saying for a long, long time. And a lot of people disagree with me, but I don't really care. So, So my second pick, the one that I would replace, I would go back to the well. I would go back to the Incredible Hulk, and I would replace Mark Ruffalo with Edward Norton. I loved his Bruce Banner. I loved his Hulk. I just thought, I've always thought that his Banner, to me, felt more afraid of the Hulk than Ruffalo's does. Ruffalo's Banner, to me, feels like he's ashamed of being the Hulk more than afraid of being the Hulk.
Right.
And I think the character really should have always been afraid of it, because that's, I think, what the comic character always came off of, is being afraid of this thing taking over and just doing, you know, mass destruction and never being able to get back in control. I just thought Norton's came across better that way. I thought he was, and honestly, nothing against Mark Ruffalo. I just think Ed Norton's a better actor. I'm being serious. I prefer Ed Norton's acting over Mark Ruffalo's acting.
Yeah.
But I would have kept Ed Norton on. Apparently, you know, the story goes both ways. Marvel says he was tough to deal with. He says Marvel was tough to deal with. So who knows what the true story is in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would have much preferred to have seen him stick around as Bruce Banner in the Hulk than bring on Ruffalo. But again, I don't have any problem with Ruffalo's performance either. I think he's okay.
Yeah.
I just would have preferred Norton.
Yeah. Yeah. Norton, what I liked about Norton's Bruce Banner is by the end of the Incredible Hulk movie, it has finally seemed like he was embracing the Hulk. Like he was embracing it as him being the same person, just in different forms. You know what I'm saying? Having that step back with Ruffalo, him constantly saying, the other guy, I tried to kill myself, but the other guy stopped the bullet. You know what I'm saying? Like referring to his alter ego as a completely separate identity, which, I mean, it really is, but like the whole acceptance by the end of Incredible Hulk made me hopeful for the character, especially in the Marvel universe. But
I mean, that last scene in the Incredible Hulk is him doing the meditation. The eyes open up, they're green, and he's got that big grin on his face. Like, I got this now. This is all me now.
Yeah.
I love that ending of that movie. Yeah. I'm one of the people who think The Incredible Hulk's an underrated movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That was definitely a strong entry in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, I've been reading a lot of the Prelude comics. We were talking about this earlier. I've been reading a lot of the Prelude comics. And I read the Prelude comic for, Thor Ragnarok. And so basically what the Prelude comics for those for that movie was just a recap of the Incredible Hulk and Thor the Dark World. So it's basically just a recap.
Gotcha.
And so when they do that scene where he's sitting in the woods and he's doing the meditation and then he just lets the Hulk take over. It's, you know, that, you know how in comics where they do that little narration and then you get the square bubbles that narration. And he's basically saying, he's like basically saying, I'm Bruce Banner. And now I am at one with the monster within type of deal. He's like, I am the Incredible Hulk. I was like, yo, that's awesome. That's a good way to end that story. Like, that was cool.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I was definitely with Ed Norton being. I was disappointed to see that he left and Mark Ruffalo was on. I wasn't disappointed that Mark Ruffalo was on. I was glad somebody was able to just take the banner and run with it, but no pun intended. But it was cool. It was cool when Ed Norton was on it. So yeah.
So that was my second one.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, my last one. Taking a little cheater, because because I couldn't find a third one. So my third one, we're gonna go back to X-Men First Class, that whole arc of movies that came out with the younger X-Men. Now when we fan casted X-Men, we didn't fan cast this character, so this kind of technically counts. So
I love it.
I definitely want to replace Mystique. Jennifer Lawrence, albeit that she's a talented actress, I personally feel that she just didn't really care to do the role. Like we were talking earlier, it felt like she was just there to collect a check. And you know, I mean, a lot of those actors kind of felt like that, especially by the end of the series. You know what I'm saying? Like, now that we're getting into now that we've passed Apocalypse, like Fassbender, just he was just there for the check.
Yeah,
Lawrence just felt like she was there for the check. It just felt like. It was just like, all right, here I am. I'm at the office. Let's get this done so I can go home.
I don't think she's ever right for the role to begin with.
Yeah. It's just for what I'm looking for Mystique, I'm looking for that femme fatale, like fatal looks type, you know. And I feel like who was the first? Rebecca Romijn. She did a really good job the first time around. But if I could swap out Jennifer Lawrence and put somebody else in Mystique, I'm going to go with Jessica Chastain, because I feel like a lot of the roles that she's been doing, she's been playing that type of character, and I think she would bring some nuance to the role of Mystique, and it would be great to see her in that role. And just like no scales this time, just straight up blue skin, yellow eyes, Mystique, call it a day. Like, I don't need the scales. Like, I get it, but I don't.
Yeah, I would like to see that too. I'd like to see them kind of take away some of the unnecessary additives they've added on that character to make her look almost creature-ish as opposed to like an actual person.
Right.
It's the plain blue skin, the yellow eyes, it could be awesome.
Yeah. So, that's my last pick. That's my last fan cast. So, what do you got to round us out?
So, my last one to round it all out was a role that actually came down to the two actors involved in what I'm looking at.
Okay.
If it was up to me and had I been casting, I would have picked Jason Momoa over Dave Bautista for Drax.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, I like Dave Bautista. I think he's been very good in both movies. I'm sure he's going to be good in the next ones.
Yeah.
There's just something about Jason Momoa that I think would have been a better fit as the dry, like, he's got that dry wit, dry humor to him, especially after seeing him as Aquaman in Justice League, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I think he just has that ability that would have been a better deadpan character. I think his look would have been a little bit better as well, personally. I just think the way the Drax character is in the comics isn't quite the bulk that Bautista has. I think he's kind of more of that slim cut like Momoa is.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet part of the problem probably revolved around Momoa's hair. I'm guessing he probably wouldn't have wanted to shave his head.
Oh, yeah. That would have been rough.
And getting that mane into a skull cap wouldn't have been easy. Although they did it for Karen Gillan when they make her into Nebula. The first movie they shaved her head, second movie they did it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he probably would have looked at them if they asked him to shave his head in the first movie and gone, no.
Yeah.
I just think he would have been, plus I love Jason Momoa to begin with. I don't know if I like him as Aquaman, but I love him as a person in general. I would have loved to have seen him play Drax instead. I think that would have been the better option of the two.
Yeah, there's a role that he played when he was coming up. It was in, I think it was Stargate. It was some iteration of Stargate. And he played a character on there called Ronan, which, if you really think about it, is he really is beat for beat Drax the Destroyer. Like, so he's played Drax, so he would have been perfect for that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish they'd picked him. But you know, look, I don't have any problems with Bautista. I just think I would have preferred Momoa.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that was good. I like that. That was fun.
Absolutely.
That was fun. I'm gonna have to figure something out for next week, something out of pocket, so that we can have some fun with it. So, you know, stay tuned next week. I'll come back with you guys for another edition of the fan cast.
Yeah, buddy.
Let's move on to some TV reviews, man.
All right.
We're still on all the CW shows and, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I got a chance to take a look at at least the ones that I know that we both watch. I got a chance to look at Flash, got a chance to look at Black Lightning, Arrow, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Also got to look at Supergirl, but I don't know if you've been watching at this. I mean, you haven't been watching it at all, so.
I watched one of the more recent episodes, I guess, where she's got to go to some, like, space prison, and she doesn't have her powers.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was this week.
I did watch this past week, and it was okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that it would be enough to keep me watching the show. It wasn't that good to me.
I don't know.
Just give it a couple more looks. You know what I'm saying? For professional purposes. You know what I'm saying?
Professional purposes. I will continue to give it a chance when I have free time to watch.
All right.
But I'm not. I'm still not a big fan. I'm still DVRing it. So. I'll give it the chance. Unfortunately, I thought I had set up Black Lightning for my DVR, and I didn't, and I missed last week, so I have to go find that on demand somewhere.
Yeah, CW.com has it. They have it on their streaming services. They always do it the day after, and they'll put the shows up. So
I'll go look for that then.
Yeah, Black Lightning was good, so I'm not going to spoil it for you. So I want you to check it out. But we get to look at Tobias Whale a little bit more, and we get to see him in full effect. And he is a beast. Like, this guy is competent. Like, I'm really liking what he's bringing to that role. So I'm interested to see how that goes. There's a lot more reveals and stuff like that. Yeah, got to check it out. So I'm not going to give. We're not going to do any review of Black Lightning this week to give people a chance to check it out. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about these past two episodes next week.
All right, bet.
Come back. So, Arrow. All right. So I caught up on Arrow. All
right.
And I am liking the team separation. I am really liking it. It's low key. It's the best thing that they've done for that show. And Arrow's been solid. Arrow has been very solid, but it was feeling congested at one point. Mm. So I'm glad that they're making this change. What was I thinking? Oh, so I was thinking that there could be a possibility that this Arrow team, which I liked the little Easter egg that Mr. Terrific dropped. And when he gave the name the Outsiders, that was pretty dope.
Oh, see, I'm not familiar with that.
So this is the Outsiders is a group in DC that I think worked a lot with Batman. But Black Light. Now, see here. So here's what's going to lead to my prediction for this is that. It was a team that was originally founded by Black Lightning and a few other heroes. So my thing is, okay, we got this squad of heroes that are doing their own thing now. There's potential if I feel like Black Lightning wanted to, if Black Lightning is going to be included in the Arrowverse, there's a potential there for this team to actually go onto that show and support Black Lightning. I think that would be cool. I would like that. You know what I'm saying? You got Mr. Terrific. You got
Wild Dog.
And Black Canary.
Yeah.
Like those are, I feel like those characters are ripe for Black Lightning. They would fit in perfect in that scenario. And if they moved over to that show to support Black Lightning and then form the team, the Outsiders, I would be great with that.
Because I know they've come forward and said that Black Lightning is kind of in its own universe, but still with Supergirl, and now Supergirl's part of the whole thing. So
yeah,
I think they're just going to wait to see if it gets as popular as they're hoping, and if it does, then they can merge it.
Exactly, because they've done a good job of like not being specific as to where it sits. You know what I'm saying? As far as the universe is concerned, and so they leave it open so that they can say maybe at the end of the season say, oh well, you know, Oliver Queen does such and such and such, you know, or something like that. You know, like some kind of name drop that'll put it in the Arrowverse, and I would be all right with that. I would be all right with that. But I'm definitely liking this new team. I like the separation of teams. I like Spartan's upgrades. Spartan's upgrades are perfect. I'm just glad that John's back in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, you knew it was coming at some point, right?
Yeah.
Especially once they finally put the implant in his arm and it doesn't work right away. You kind of knew eventually they were going to get it fixed and whatnot. So I do kind of like how it's back to the original three, essentially, for Team Arrow, for lack of a better choice of words.
Yeah.
You know, with Speedy kind of there but not there. Like, there's always the potential they could put, you know, Willa Holland, thank you. They could put her back in the suit. You know, personally, I guess maybe it's just me thinking of the easy way out and it wouldn't make much of a show. I didn't understand why during the whole bit where they're like, Oliver Queen's the Green Arrow. You know, why don't you just bring Roy back and put him in the Arrow suit? Looks a little more convincing than John being in the Arrow suit as far as covering Wally's back.
Like he's like two times bigger than Ollie.
Well, I mean, come on. He's two times bigger than Ollie, and he's black.
Yeah.
I mean.
But it's like, I give them the fact that they're not going to see, like, very much details as far as face is concerned, because, like, Green Arrow moves in, comes in, kicks butt,
true,
and leaves.
True.
You know what I'm saying? True. But, like, he does look like he's legit two times bigger than
Oh, easily. Him. Easily. And he doesn't, they don't have, like, the open arms. Like, the one season the costume had the open arms, so you could see the white forearms on Stephen Amell as he's playing.
True. Yeah, yeah. They went
Part of me would like to see Roy come back anyway. I just like the character, and I kind of like the actor in that role. So I'm kind of hoping at some point maybe he makes a comeback. But
yeah,
I was laughing at him. I'm like, he's just, you know, it's not really all that convincing.
it's just so many things that they did when they made John Diggle the Green Arrow that just made it like blatantly obvious that this wasn't the original Green Arrow. It's like big black crossbow, like everything's different.
Yes, not exactly the Green Arrow. That's funny.
Yeah, man. But I'm really liking it. Yeah, it's been really good. Like there's a lot of character development there that I've been really liking. What's his name? Lance.
Detective Lance.
Detective Lance and Speedy Willa Holland's character, like their relationship is so great right now. It's like so solid. And you can tell like they're in a place right now where they need each other. And
yeah, 100%.
That's the best kind of storytelling is when these characters are so dependent on each other because they're literally the last string that keeps them all together. So it's just great watching. And then she calls him like, just like, you have another daughter too, and it's just like, oh, it was just so endearing. So, I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm glad that William is on the team now. Like, not on the team, but at least with everything.
He knows what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause God, man, he was getting on my nerves, not understanding what his pop was doing. Like, yo, man, like he Green Arrow, you walking around with a Flash backpack, like you already disrespectful.
That is pretty damn funny though. You know, because you know the last episode they made a big deal out of that. He's like, take your Flash backpack.
Yo, man, I was like, man, this kid is disrespectful. You just going
at man, some point. At some point, the kid's going to meet Barry, right? Like, you know that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's going to be hilarious.
He's going to be like, your dad did this. I brought this together.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Oh, man. And you know what? I thought I was never going to get back here, but Felicity is definitely winning me over again. She is.
Oh, she's bringing you back.
She's bringing me back. She is being a solid stepmom to William. Which is cool. I think after everything that's happened, I think she's finally starting to understand like some of the stuff that she was doing and saying was completely uncalled for. Like she did a lot of judging of Ollie and ended up flipping and doing the same thing that man did.
For those who don't know, the boss broke up with Felicity a few months ago during the crossover.
I said, I can't believe this woman, man.
When she turned to my man Ollie and said, "I don't want to marry you," as loud as she possibly could.
Like, how you going?
The boss is like, "No,
in front of people,
it's over. That's it. It's a wrap. She and I are done."
The disrespect. The disrespect. It's over. It's over. Can't do this. No, it's not me. It's you.
It's you. But it sounds like the boss is making a turn. He's gonna bring her back. Yeah. You know, let her back
in. Cool. We on speaking terms. We amicable at least. You know what I'm saying? It's all cool. You know, sheesh. I just don't understand why it takes so long. Like, I get it. It's character development. This is how it goes.
Yeah.
But, woo, Lord. Woman was trying my patience. Oh, man. Flash. Dude. Yo, can we just talk about how great Cisco is as a character?
His relationship with Wells. It's just so perfect. Like I'm glad they're back to, not that I didn't like the HR version of Wells,
right?
But I'm glad they're kind of back to the prick Wells, because it was always, I think, the best form of the character to me.
Yeah,
just the guy who's like, I don't really want to be your friend. I don't really care what you think. I'm going to say whatever I want to say, and I'm an asshole about it. I think is kind of the better part of the character, and so I love him as that.
He really
two of them playing off each other that way is just hilarious. I think it's a great
you know what
combo.
I could go for like after every episode of Flash, like on the CWC, like whatever their streaming service or whatever it is, just like a 5 to 10 minute short of just Cisco and HR. I could go for that.
You know, I would watch it too. I would absolutely watch it too. I have to agree. That would be hysterical.
I'm telling you. Yo, when he comes in through the clutch and saves Elongated Man, he says, "Not today, Satan." That's got to be my favorite part of the series, the show that night, yo, man. That was the best.
And that show's been good this season, even, you know, without, for the most part, without Barry's, you know, involvement.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan of the Elongated Man character. The actor kind of annoys me a little bit, but I get it.
But you know what, though? That's the point. Like, Elongated Man in the comics, him and Plastic Man, like, nobody liked them. Like, they never wanted to team up with them guys. So
right.
It was kind of like, it's kind of like perfect the way that the character is unfolding, because he really is. Like, he's having his hero moment, and he's having his development moment where he's growing and stuff. But, like, yo, for the most part, like, Elongated Man is not like anybody that any of the big heroes want to team up with.
No. I can see. I want to stay away from him. I can see it.
Oh, man.
That's funny.
Yeah, man. But, yeah, it was a strong episode. It was good. I'm trying to figure out, like, I'm still trying to figure out whether or not I'm liking this whole Barry in prison thing. It's just, like, it's irking my soul right now, but I know there's going to be a payoff. And, oh, let's talk about Goldberg for a minute.
How about that? I didn't know he was in the episode. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was crazy. I was like, when they flipped over to him the first time and you see him, I was like, is that Goldberg? It's like, yo, where have you been, bro? Like, we've been looking for you.
He was back wrestling for a little while, but that was months ago. He's not doing it.
Yeah. He'd have been interesting as Drax.
That, you know what? He would have been, too. He would have been very interesting as Drax.
Oh, man. But, yeah, it's good to see Goldberg. You know, honestly, I'm not even going to hold you. Like, I know that they've already debuted Ted Grant within the Arrowverse.
Right.
But Goldberg would have been a great Ted Grant.
I know who you're talking about.
Wildcat. Wildcat. So, he would have been a good Wildcat. I definitely would have liked him for that.
I would suck to see that. Yeah.
And he definitely has the ability. Like, watching him in them action scenes, man, I love wrestlers. Like, when they make that transition to doing action flicks, they do it so well, because it's just like it's second nature to them. They know how to do those on-screen fights. Like, that was my favorite thing about watching The Rock on screen. Like, he just knew what he was doing. He just goes in, you know? So yeah, it's cool. It was cool seeing Goldberg after not seeing him for so long. I hope that he kind of becomes like a regular. I hope he becomes a regular on the show. Like, that would be so dope.
I'd be all right with that. I would definitely be all right with that.
Yeah, and it's looking like they're trying to set up something there, because the next episode is supposed to deal with why the Goldberg's character got in the prison in the first place,
right?
So we'll find out why Dave's in prison. Dave. Oh man, I'm telling you, it's so. How about that little scene with who I'm surmising to be Barry and Iris's daughter.
Yeah, you know, I think you're probably right. I think we
talked about that before for the crossover.
Yep.
You know, and I think you're right, just especially with that whole interaction from that episode.
Oh, man, she was fangirling so hard.
Oh, so hard. Well, and then the end of the episode, she's writing in whatever that language is she's supposed to be writing in, so she's clearly from a different time.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see. And, like, I'm sure they're going to use her to translate, because they saved all of that. They saved all of that writing.
Right.
So they're going to use her to translate that eventually when she does her reveal. And yo, man, this is the kind of stuff I like about TV storytelling, that you don't really get with films because you got to watch the whole story in one sitting. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to do this slow drag, and it's like, it's agonizing right now. I'm so anxious for this girl to reveal herself. So the payoff is going to be so rewarding when they finally do.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. When we finally find out who exactly she is, even though we probably already know, it's still going to be interesting.
Yeah, man. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That show, man. It's so solid.
It really has gotten so good.
Yeah. Like, I'm seeing who's I'm definitely liking the Flint character. I like him. He can get a little aggy sometimes. He can get a little annoying. But
yeah.
But you could tell he's a bright-eyed kid who wants to be a hero now. Like, when he started, he was scared. He ain't want to do nothing. Now he want to just jump head first into gunfire. Like, dude, chill out.
I got powers now. I can do it all. No.
Yeah, chill out. Oh, man. But it's cool it was cool watching that episode and watching them time jump back and forth. So we're watching like a timeline that hasn't even happened yet, but we know that they're going to go back to make this happen. So, yeah, I'm just loving this.
All about what happens with Daisy. I'm loving it. I think it's fantastic.
I
think it's cast well. It's written well at this point. Look, if you'd have gone back to the beginning of the first season, told me it would have been this good by the time it got here, I wouldn't have believed you.
But yeah, it was rough.
It was rough, but it's really, really picked up. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
Other shows that I would recommend, by the way, just to throw out some recommendations to people looking for shows. One is honestly a reality show, and I never watch reality shows that much, but Better Late Than Never is one of the funniest reality shows I've ever seen in my life. It revolves around four people: Henry Winkler, Terry Bradshaw, William Shatner, and George Foreman.
Oh, God.
And I know, right? And they have a comedian by the name of Jeff Dye, who I didn't really know too well before the show, but he's a comedian who he's kind of their, I don't want to say caretaker, but he's kind of like their group leader, so to speak, and he takes them to different places around the world. Oh, my God. It's so funny. They just do all kinds of stupid stuff, like all over the place. Like, they've taken him to like Madrid. They've taken him to Barcelona. It took them someplace in Norway because Bradshaw said he was a Viking. And it's just really, really funny.
Yeah.
I won't get too into it because I'm spoilery. But if you ever get bored looking for a reality show that's really, really funny, I would check out Better Late Than Never.
Nice.
The one I highly tout now, and it was given to me by a family member, is Happy. I don't know if anybody's seen Happy yet, but oh my God.
We were talking about that last week.
Yeah. Oh my God, what a great show this is. It pushes every boundary you could think of, it pushes it, and it's hilarious. Christopher Maloney plays a deadbeat who used to be a cop. He's now a gun for hire. He's a drunk. Finds out he's got a daughter. And he finds out through the daughter's imaginary friend, which is a little blue flying unicorn named Happy, voiced by Patton Oswalt. And Maloney's the only one who can see him besides the daughter. And he's talked to him all the time. People think he's crazy. And the show is basically about Happy trying to convince Maloney to go rescue the daughter. So he finally starts to do it in the first episode. And just all kinds of just insanity ensues over the next few episodes. It's hilarious. Definitely check out Happy if you're looking for an off-the-wall show. It's not for kids in any way, shape, or form. It's language, there's nudity, there's violence, there's blood, it's all of it, but it's a great show. It's hilarious, and it's fun to watch.
I'm gonna have to check that one out.
You should. Yeah. If you watch the first episode, if you get into the first episode, the rest of the season is gonna be a cakewalk for you. The first episode starts and takes you through. It's awesome. I love it.
Nice. I guess if we're gonna recommend some TV shows, I guess I got two I wanna shout out right now. So I've been really into Riverdale. Now Riverdale's a new show on CW. Yeah, CW. It's like a whodunit murder mystery thriller. Like you're trying to find out the villain of every season, and it's based on the Archie comics. Which
I was just gonna say.
Yeah, like I've read some strips of Archie comics, but I had no idea like it was this involved. And, like, these characters are deep, rich. Like, I mean, like, you know, you're dealing with, it's a teeny bopper show. So it's like, they're right. all teenage. They're all in high school. So, you know, like with any other teeny bopper show, sometimes the characters can get annoying. But sure. that's just the way that it goes. But like just the thriller aspect of this show, trying to figure out whoever murdered this or whatever, whoever's behind whatever big plot that's going on, finding out whose motives. It's just it's so much fun to watch season to season. I binge watched season one, couldn't stop watching it. And so now I'm hooked. And so I'm watching season two now and. The show is so good. It's so good. Now the second show that I'm thinking about is it's a Netflix show, and I just watched the trailer for it. It's called Altered Carbon.
I just saw that trailer too.
That thing looks wild. So basically, it's like this. They're returning. You can transfer human consciousness to different bodies, and so. After 250 years of this one guy being in ICE, he was like a prisoner. He returns to life in a new body with a chance to win his freedom by solving the murder of some guy. Some guy played by James Purfoy. He was on like A Knight's Tale. I can't think of anything else that he was on, but he's got to solve this guy's murder. So it's going to be like a futuristic landscape. Joel Kinnaman, if you watched the reboot of RoboCop, he was RoboCop. He was also in Suicide Squad. I really like Joel Kinnaman. Like he's a good actor, he's a good action star. He was in that movie, what was that? Something by Night. I can't remember who was in it, but I wanna say Liam Neeson was in it. Okay. But it might not have been him. But Joel Kinnaman was like the main star of that movie. And it's just like he's trying to like stay alive throughout the whole movie. Like he's a good action star. So Altered Carbon looks really good. The trailer looks great. I'm definitely interested. It's giving me Blade Runner vibes.
Yeah, so I can see that.
Blade Runner, Surrogates. You know, a lot of those Futurescape movies is giving me a lot of those vibes. So I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm with that. I like the way that looked. I watched that trailer a little bit ago. I'm actually curious about that myself.
Definitely. So last week, we didn't really have too many movies coming out, but I did get a chance to watch Maze Runner 3, The Death Cure. I believe it's the final installment of this series. It may not be. I don't know. But you could definitely feel like there was a... Yeah, no, this is definitely the final installment. But you can definitely feel like there was a conclusion... made they reached the end of the story, and the payoff was worth it. So it's like, if you've been following, if you watch Maze Runner 1, if you watch Maze Runner 2, I would definitely recommend go finish this story out, go see it. Now, you don't have to be in any rush to go see it. You can catch a matinee. It wasn't like for me, it wasn't like drawn for any like special edition, so I don't need to see it in RPX. I don't need to see it with some crazy sound or 3D. This was like a straight up standard movie. You can watch this early. The earlier the better, because the tickets are cheaper.
Right.
But yeah, it was good. I like the kid, Dylan O'Brien. He's the star. He plays Thomas in the movie. I really liked this kid's chops. He's a legit action star. He's been developing his skills. The last movie he was in was American Assassin. But this kid looks like when he's wielding a gun, he can do what he looks like he knows what he's doing. He feels very much like, and I don't know, this is kind of like, this is a stretch, because Keanu Reeves looks like a professional in John Wick. Like when he pops people with one shot, I believe that he took that shot, aimed it, and that shot would have hit whoever his target was if it was a real bullet in that gun. Like
he's legit.
But this guy Dylan O'Brien is pretty close. Like I feel like he's building his skill talent to be that way. Now I'll keep it funky with you. If they were going to reboot The Matrix and they needed a Neo, Dylan O'Brien might be a good ringer. I think he might be that guy.
Okay.
So yeah, but I enjoyed the movie. Giancarlo Esposito's in there. I love him and anything that he does. He's He's always a beast. He's like a legendary. Yeah, he's a legendary talent. So, yeah.
Yeah, if you don't know Giancarlo and you watched Breaking Bad, Giancarlo was Gus Fring.
Yeah, man. One
of the greatest TV villains of all time.
He could play some. He could play some twisted characters. He could play some twisted characters, but he was like a legit good guy in this one. So it was a nice break from the norm for him. So who else was in here? Littlefinger from Game of Thrones was in there. What's his name? Aiden something or something? I don't know.
Oh, you know, Gillan. I don't know the actor's name. It is Aiden something, but I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my head.
Yeah, but he was in there. And you want to talk about evil? That boy was the worst of them. So it was cool seeing him in there. The action was great. The scenes were really good. It's an entertaining time at the movies, especially if you've already watched one and two. Just go take a look at it, you know. So right. That's my mini review for Maze Runner, and let's take a look at what's coming out this week. Now, it's not really anything coming out this week that I'm interested at all in, because I haven't really seen any trailers for this specific movie. So there's this movie called Winchester coming out, and I believe it's a horror film. And, you know, I'm not a horror film type of dude.
Right.
So, you know, it take that how you will. But, you know, the little screen synopsis says that after a sudden death of her family, firearms heiress Sarah Winchester becomes convinced that she's haunted by the souls of those killed by guns. Winchester decides to build an enormous mansion that's designed to keep the evil spirits at bay. When skeptical psychiatrist Eric Price visits the estate to evaluate her state of mind, he soon discovers that her obsession may not be so far-fetched after all. So, I'm good. I don't need to see this.
Yeah, no, I think I'm okay. That description, I think I'm good without that one.
Yeah, so, you know, there it is. That's what's coming out in the movies this week. So, you know, if you're interested in that, I mean, some people out there love thrillers. I know I got a few friends that really love scary movies, so they'll go see it even if it's bad. But yeah, I won't be there. sucks though, cause Helen Mirren is starring in this joint. So, and I love Helen Mirren, but
yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I'm not gonna see this one.
So I gotta ask this real quick though.
Yeah.
I mean, you all right? You didn't drive out to Los Angeles for tonight, or fly out to Los Angeles for tonight?
My funds, man.
I just saw that what was going down tonight. Now I happened to glance at my Facebook and see James Gunn with his very beautiful girlfriend Jennifer Jennifer Holland. I think it's Jennifer Holland. I forget exactly.
I think that's what her name is.
On their way to the Black Panther premiere taking place this evening.
I'm so jealous right now. I just wish I could just be there. I mean, even if I could just clean the aisles after the movie is done, but I could sit there,
stand in the auditorium,
and just watch the movie. So I'm going to have to wait like everybody else, unfortunately.
I was just checking to make sure, you know.
Oh, man. But I'm really excited, though, because they just dropped a new TV spot. The TV spot had the new Kendrick Lamar and SZA song on there, which is just extra dope. So I'm looking forward to this movie. I'm done now. Now, I don't want to see any more ads. I don't want to see anything else. I just want to see the movie. Just right, give me the enough. Movie.
Fair enough. Well, you don't got a lot of time to wait. So,
yeah. Oh, man. So, you know, we're going to round it out today. Guys, with a little public service announcement, you know, the bosses are going to give back this year. We're going to try and do something a little different. We're going to participate in an activity that I participated in solo like a couple years ago. And basically what we're doing is we're participating in the Extra Life fundraising event. So basically every year, ExtraLife.org unites thousands of gamers around the world to play games in support of their local Children's Miracle Network Hospital. So for us, we're going to be doing this for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Since its inception in 2008, Extra Life has raised more than $40 million for sick and injured kids all over the country. So, yeah, it's a pretty big deal. I mean, like, when they first started, it slowly grew. And now we're at a point now where they're making, like, $40 million a year for this. It's a 24-hour fundraising and gaming marathon to support Children's Miracle Network hospitals. So what will happen is on game day of this year, which is November 3rd, the boss's desk will be joining thousands of gamers and dedicate an entire day to play games and get donations from friends like you. 100% of these donations are going to the local hospital of our choosing, which will be Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And it's great because we get an opportunity to raise these funds and make a difference in the lives of all these sick and injured kids all over the country. So your donation is tax deductible, and it will make miracles happen for these families who desperately need them. So we are going to include not only in this post, but we're also going to post on our Facebook page and our Twitter page details for you to click on the link to go to our donation page. Just click on donate and just, you know, whatever you can, just donate to this this cause that we have that we're going to be participating in at the end of the year, near the end of the year. And the fun part about it is what we're going to do is we're going to live cast this whole event, you know. So we're going to be on Twitch.
Oh boy.
We're going to be on Twitch. We're going to post all the games that we play. I mean, you can see, like, we'll probably still be in the same party, but we'll break off and do break games every once in a while. So you may see us playing, you know, Assassin's Creed. You may see us playing Call of Duty World War II. You may see us playing Division. You may see us playing whatever is new that's out at that time. I'm sure there's going to be plenty out for us to play. So, but yeah, we're going to be dedicating a 24-hour period of nonstop gameplay to raise this money for these kids. So, you know, any little bit that you can donate will be greatly appreciated, and we'll give you guys the link and details in this post and on our various social media outlets, man. So, yeah, man, I'm excited, you know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know you've done this for a long time over the years, and you asked me to be part of it this year, and I'll definitely take part. You know, I'd be happy to help out.
Yeah, man. A lot of fun. Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be a good time. I'm probably gonna set something up. You know, have some people over, so we're gonna have some special guests come through. You know, every hour or so, we're gonna have a good time, man, and raise this money for the kids, because you know the bosses that's love the kids, man. Yep. Yeah, so we'll keep posting. We'll give you updates. We'll remind you, you know, so that you guys can, you know, keep it fresh. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Every little bit helps. Don't be shy. There's no minimum and there's no maximum. So, you know, give what you can, and we will definitely appreciate it. Absolutely. You get much love from us here at the boss's desk.
It's a good cause. Definitely.
Yeah,
good
cause. Man. Yeah, man. So, yeah, that's it for us here at the boss's desk. So, if you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook, the boss's desk, Twitter at the boss's desk, and YouTube, the boss's desk. We're also on iTunes, and we're also on Google Play. Under the boss's desk, you can subscribe to our podcast and get these updates regularly as we release them. If you have any questions about anything you heard on the show or any news items that, you know, we may have missed and you want us to take a look at and you want to hear our opinion on them, as far as the geek world is concerned, just send us your questions on Twitter. You can just tweet us at the boss's desk, or you can send us emails to questions@thebossesdesk.com with any of your questions. And you might hear us share it on one of our podcasts, man. So we have a good time on here, and we want our followers to have a good time too.
Absolutely.
No. So yeah, so stay with us, follow us, and we'll catch you guys next week. We're out.